Coming to you from the kitchen slash podcast studio on the south coast of England in Brighton, this is the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast, your go-to hub for no-nonsense content and absolutely no false promises of passive incomes or getting rich quick. So settle in and join your host, Des Hamilton, to find out exactly how to say goodbye to being poor and hello to being rich. Sponsored by Cellaramp. Sourcing analysis simplified.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the £200,000 to £100,000 Challenge Podcast with me, your man, your guy in the kitchen, the £200 geezer, Des Hamilton. It really is a pleasure to have you back here. I'm really grateful. Also, while I'm talking about being grateful, I'd like to say thank you once again to our sponsors, Cellaramp SaaS. Great to have you on board. Now, let's get into these episodes. This week and next week, these are going to be the manifestation law of attraction, confidence building episodes, because our guest today is, let's call her what she is. She's a viral sensation. She is Lydia. She is a manifestation and confidence building coach, and she is smashing it on TikTok with a following of over 71,000. She's flying and she's great. We've got Lydia on, who's going to talk to us all about her coaching, the way she's been going about things since she was 16 years old, having picked up the secret, and also the things that she supplies her clients as part of her manifestation confidence building coaching. Now, let me tell you my story when it comes to manifestation and my journey with it. If you've been following me from the start, you'll know that when I started this challenge, I was still relatively new to the concept, but I had fully embraced it because of an incident that happened back in 2017 when I first learned about manifestation and the level of my frequency, and call it the universe, call it the force, call it the mother load, call it nature, call it God, whatever you want to call it, the being out there that can provide you with the life that you want to have. Now, I used it in 2017 and it changed my life forever for the better. I then plugged myself back into the system and used it again when I needed to get this challenge up and running and this business up and running. And look where it's got me. Now, as I was approaching the imposter syndrome episodes that I was going through a few months ago, and if you go over my social media channels, my God, I don't half bang on about it. But it's true. I thought I had quite significant imposter syndrome. Now I am over that and looking back on it, it is more nuanced than that. I have these limiting beliefs, this belief in myself that is part of my self-concept that I need to get over. It's not necessarily an imposter syndrome in the very thing that I'm doing. After all, I'm confident enough to stand in front of you here, talking to a microphone in my kitchen, knowing that I'm actually talking to thousands of people all over the world. The biggest issue was that I hadn't quite grasped my self-concept enough to understand what my limiting actions and my limiting beliefs were in order to address them. So I went to therapy. And as I threw myself into therapy, specifically reprogramming an EFT. EFT, we're going to talk about this later in the interview, is the concept of tapping your wrists, tapping your karate chop part of your hand, tapping your collarbone, the top of your head, your nose, your chin. All of these are pressure points similar to acupuncture, that when you press upon those and tap upon those, it regulates your nervous system. Now, as I was looking into that therapy, I then found Lydia on social media. And my God, between the two, between my therapist and Lydia, the things that I put in place, namely the affirmations I put in place, the tapping routines I put in place, the story I told myself changed. And then my confidence shot up through the roof. Not instantly, but it was something that had been crying out. And I needed this to get over that limiting belief. And it is working. It's no exaggeration when I say to you that around about mid-March, I started looking into this significantly. I interviewed Lydia on the 20th of March for the purposes of this and next week's show. It's that week that I posted on Instagram, which started the trend that took me from 500 followers to, at the time of recording this, 11,000 in about 3 weeks. Now, you can call it coincidence, you can call it luck, but it happened too many times. I needed it in 2017. I got myself out of a situation and I have never looked back. I needed it when I started this business. It got me everything I needed it to give me and I have never looked back. I needed a bump in my Instagram. My TikTok had stagnated. I needed it then. Wallop, another 2,000 on TikTok and over 10,000 on Instagram. This stuff works. And it's not a case of whether you believe me or not. It's not a red pill, blue pill kind of deal. The simple fact is, what have you got to lose? What have you got to lose if you just believe in this? If you just ask for things out there that you actually deserve, because you do. You deserve whatever you want to have. So with that in mind, let Lydia tell you in a way far better than I can. Let's get into the interview and I'll see you on the other side. Roll them. Lydia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. Genuinely, really lovely to meet you and so glad, looking forward to this one.
Awesome. I'm really excited to be here.
Let's get into it. Talk us through how you found this way of thinking, this way of living, and all of your journey.
So I found it when I always say 16, but I wasn't. It was 2 months shy of my 16th birthday and my grandma had passed away and my auntie came over from Ireland for the funeral and she had 7 copies of The Secret and she gave us all one. And me and my dad just absolutely latched onto it, loved it. And personally for me, as like a 15-year-old girl, I had never been told that you can choose how you think, you can choose how you feel about yourself. I mean, I was always very ambitious. Like if you see my like school reports from like year 6, I've literally written in it, I'm going to be famous, I'm going to be a pop star, all those kind of things. But also as a 15-year-old girl, you're insecure.
Yeah, yeah.
For a book to tell me I could choose positivity was just mind-blowing for me. So that's when I first discovered it and it just changed the trajectory of my life from that point forward.
Right. So you threw yourself proper in, did you?
Oh, fully in. And also, bear in mind, because I was grieving, it was an outlet for that grief as well, because it was like kind of channeling this energy into something else.
Yeah.
And so I just started thinking, okay, well, if my thoughts create things, let me see what I can do. And, you know, I manifested my first job and my first car, and it just got really exciting. I loved it.
That's amazing. What about your dad?
My dad, he's always had that mindset anyway. We love it together. Like even last night, I brought him a book last week. And he messaged me saying, love the book lids. And my mum is really into it as well. So I'm quite lucky to have had parents that buy into it, because everybody else's parents are going, get a real job, go to university, like be normal. Stop thinking you can have everything in life because you can't and life is unfair and whatever. My mum and dad is opposite. They're telling me to go do whatever I want and to believe in the universe. So
lovely. I'm kind of the opposite of that, to be honest with you. I do my affirmations in secret, like in the car when no one's watching, tapping on my head, you know what I mean? Yeah. Not driving at the same time, for God's sake, but you understand.
Most people do because it's not normal. And we haven't been brought up with that. We've been brought up with the complete opposite. Life's not fair. You know, whatever's going on is what's going on and we can't change it. We've been brought up in a very powerless mindset.
Yeah.
So we do it in secret. And that's why I think TikTok, social media is just amazing right now, because it is showing other people a different way to think.
I totally agree. I didn't find it until late 30s and it was You Are a Badass, Jen Sincero.
Oh, I've read that one. I looked that one.
It's brilliant, isn't it? And I hadn't read The Secret. I didn't even know anything about it. And I'm cycling to work listening to this theme and it just changed my world. Like the fact that you're meant to love yourself. You're meant to, thoughts become things. I'm not religious in the slightest, but the way she described it, it all just clicked, you know, and you kind of just step into a brand new world, didn't you?
You do. I always like say it's like the sunglasses are being taken off.
Yeah, love it.
Like you see the world in colour almost, because all of these years, you know, even like bad relationships, you know, weight journeys, everything, you just kind of believe that you're stuck there. And that's a really disempowering feeling. It's a really depressing feeling, in fact.
Yeah.
And then be told, oh, no, you have the power over this. It's like, what?
Yeah.
And then when you start actually applying it and you see that that's just addictive, in my opinion, it gets addictive.
It does. But it's one of those, isn't it, really? It's so easy to go into a cycle when a string of bad things happen at once. You are so caught up in the moment, you forget your own frequency and you forget what you're doing, don't you? it's a conscious effort to trigger back in. But I agree with you as well. It's only when you're scrolling through a TikTok and you say, of course, I forgot all about that. That's what I need to be doing.
Because our old patterns are so habituated. They're so stuck. I mean, even mine, 15 years, that's half my life now. So half of my life, I'm in that stuck pattern. You know, if you're breaching into 30, 40, 50, then you know, two-thirds of your life. But, you know, so it's really training the brain. And also with manifestation, I always remind my clients, it's not so that everything in your life runs smoothly. You know, not even because something bad's going on, but just because you're hungry or you've got bad gut health or you're not drinking enough water that day, you're going to have bad moments. Or life is going to smack you in the face sometimes when life things occur. But it's about having a toolbox to deal with it and then remind yourself there's always like a silver lining, but you just have to get through it.
What was the moment? So you're 15 years old, you've read this book, it's kind of enlightened it for you. What was the first thing? Do you remember the very first thing that you manifested and thought, this actually works?
I can't remember the first. Do you know what? I've actually got my diaries from back then. I've kept a diary since year 10. Since I was 10.
Wow.
The 20 years of my life, I've got just journals. And I always said I was going to like publish them when I was 30. And then I turned 30 last year and I was like, there's no way anybody is reading me. But I know I wrote a lot of stuff down in there, so I should have got it out for you today. But I remember my first one that really stands out to me was I wanted to manifest £464. I would have been 16 and that felt like a big amount of money to me. Felt like, oh, if I've got that amount of money that I can do a lot with. And I don't know what, I think I picked a random number so I would know that it had happened because of my manifest. And I manifested my first job at B&Q and that my first wage check was around that. And I was like, wow, I've done it. And I'd completely forgotten about it as well. I'd forgotten about it at this point. I was just getting on with life and I was just like having fun being a 16-year-old. And then my wage check was like, wow, oh my gosh, I get this a month. Like this. And I felt like rich beyond words. I can't describe how rich I felt that day. I hadn't asked how much my rate per hour was. So I was too scared. Being a 16-year-old, I was just like,
no, you don't. You just want a job, didn't you?
What happens?
Yeah.
And also, all my friends, B&Q was paying great money at my age at that time. Probably still is, to be fair. It's a great company for stuff like that. Mm. And my friends were all on like minimum wage, which was considerably less for a 16-year-old. I was on like an adult minimum wage or a bit above.
Yeah.
And so when I got the check, I was in awe.
No, I was the same. I used to work at Foot Locker. This was like 1996. And yeah, I remember with my first wage slip, I went and got like a real Yves Saint Laurent shirt. That was that was the best thing ever. It was 50 quid thinking, I can afford 50 quid for a shirt. Yeah.
Convinced, no matter how much work we do around money, we're never going to feel as rich as we did that day.
No.
That freedom, that whole new world that's opened up to you because of your paycheck. Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I love it. So when did you then say, you know what, this is working for me, I'm going to help other people?
I knew straight away after reading that book, that was what I was going to do in my life.
Did
I knew straight away, which I think I'm really fortunate to have that at such a young age, because I think a lot of people go through life and they still don't know what they want to do. I knew as soon as I read that book, I'm going to do what these people are doing. But I just wanted to share that message. You know, like I ran into school to show the girls, like, oh my God, look at this book. I just wanted to pass it on. Mm. And I just wanted to share that we can think differently, we can feel better about ourselves, and we can have what we wanted. Like, you can be doing and have anything you want. I thought I was going to be in my 40s when I did that. My process was, I'm too young, nobody's going to listen to me yet. I've got no life experience, so I'll just crack on, and then when I'm ready, I'll be more credible to do it.
Yeah.
And then I ended up doing it at 20. I think I started at 23.
And did anyone bring up your age ever?
No, they didn't actually.
No.
Because I had a boyfriend at the time, and he was like, you know, what do you want to do in life? And I think it was the first time I'd ever said it out loud, and I was like, I'm going to be a motivational speaker. Imagine like being told that. And I think he was about 19 at the time. So he was like, well, why don't you do it then? I was like, I think I was 22 when we had this conversation. People were like, well, I'd listen to you. And that just got the cog turning in my brain. And and then the next year I just made sure I did it.
The reason I asked about your age, really, is just because I'm learning it really means nothing.
Not at all. As well, the younger generation, they do learn a lot off YouTube these days and TikTok. So they are equipped with quite a lot more knowledge. So even though I was only young, I was constantly researching the subconscious mind, Bob Proctor, any law of attraction teacher I could find. So I had like this fountain of knowledge. I never I never script for my podcasts or my TikToks, and I didn't back then either. It was just that I could do a seminar for 5 days and probably not have a script because I've just been researching for so long. And I think we do self-study now.
Mm.
And because we do understand this, as the generations are going on, that school actually doesn't equip you with what we want to do in life at all time. So we are going out and we're finding our own answers, which I think is amazing.
Absolutely right. The fact that information isn't guarded anymore, it's everything. It really is. And I think that's why people like me, I resonated so much with what you said. I didn't know what I wanted to do until I was after 40, you know. And even then, it was only once I'd settled into a happy marriage, a happy life, that I could even sort of start thinking beyond the immediate.
Yeah.
And then you plug it in, don't you, really? You plug it in and you find out more about yourself and you find out where your limits are. That's my biggest challenge by a mile. It's still figuring out my self-concept. I haven't got a bloody clue. I've got so much still to do on that before I can even address it. But I'm working on it, Lid.
We all have. And I think it's only when you're at that right time, whatever age that hits you, that you are actually willing to have a bit of self-awareness. Because it's not nice going inside and saying, okay, well, what are my limiting beliefs? What did I grow up thinking? And all this kind of stuff. It's not comfortable, which is why a lot of people don't want to do it. If I'm honest.
Yeah.
That's my biggest thing with my clients. I'm like, come on, we just need to get down to the nitty-gritty, and you know, they'll avoid it for a while. But when you do open those doors, like, the world just changes for you.
Definitely. If you don't know the problem, you're never going to fix it, are you?
Exactly. But it takes a special kind of mindset to do that, because a lot of people go, no, that's not my problem.
Yeah, this is it. But you can feel it holding you back, can't you? When you do find a problem, all of a sudden it's the loudest voice in your head when you find it. And it's just a case of
like a toddler screaming.
Yeah.
And until you pick it up, it's not going to stop screaming.
Yeah. How do you best describe exactly what it is you do and the mindset that you employ?
So I use the sales and mindset coach. I say like I'm a manifestation teacher, and I teach you how to manifest the life you want. And within doing that, I help you increase your confidence as well. Confidence is a massive thing in the work I do. It's not just about manifesting the car, the money, the house, the business, the relationship. I want my clients to feel as best as they could possibly feel going throughout this life, because one, it's a short trip. What is the point of being insecure? Mm. And two, the opportunities are endless when you are in that confident state of mind. So that's a massive part of what I do. And I just basically teach you how to align your self-concept, which is your thoughts, feelings, and beliefs about yourself, to the things you want. And also align your concept of the things you want to what you want to manifest. So, for example, if you wanted to manifest £1 million, we're going to align your thoughts and beliefs into the version of you who believes they can have £1 million, believes they're worthy of it, believes that's easy, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So when you have you got a story off the top of your head that you think, I am most proud of that one?
I had one lady message me saying she was getting married. Had a lot of clients that messaged me saying they've come for me for business coaching. And then, you know, if you would say, oh, Lynn, I bet the love of my life have been engaged. I'm like, oh, that's great. But I think it's not just from my work. It's because they're stepping into their confidence and they're living the life that they're aligned with, and that naturally attracts in great things.
Exactly right.
So it's like the ripple effect of what we've been doing together.
Yeah, because you raise your confidence, you raise your mood, your frequency's up, and all of a sudden everything's in front of you, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But the ones that I'm always most proud of is, it's never like the material things that they've manifested. It's when they like message me and say, Liz, I feel so much better. Like, I'm not hating the person I see in the mirror now. I know I'm capable of what I want. And that is, for me, everything. That's all I want for them.
Yeah, that must be so rewarding, Liz.
It's amazing. It's so amazing. It makes you really just can't wait to get to work in the morning. I can't wait to make TikToks. I can't wait to reply to messages, because I know what I'm doing is like really powerful.
So when we talk about confidence and we link that with everything that you do, what advice would you give to anyone listening to this who might be struggling with self-confidence in anything?
I would say understand that it is more within your power than you think. That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. If you looked at how I was 7 years ago, recovering from like breakup and things like that, you wouldn't have looked at me and gone, oh yeah, she's well confident. And so I think we're all inherently born knowing we're confident and having that worth. As we get older, it gets knocked out of us by people who are around us, society, social media, magazines, whatever it was growing up. And so I feel like we have to almost learn it again, and we have to remind ourselves of, okay, well, I'm actually not that bad. Now, I always say to people, unless you're a murderer, you're probably not that bad.
No.
So I always say, just start with a few things. Just remind yourself that you're good enough exactly as you are. There's nothing wrong with you. And you deserve the world. So start with those three. Just dedicate, you start trickling them in. And you will build it up over time. Don't expect to wake up tomorrow. I hope you wake up tomorrow feeling 10 out of 10 confidence. But I think when we have the expectation, when we start getting mad that we don't feel that way, oh, I don't feel that way now, whatever. Just see it as like a journey. Just see it as like, I always say, like one stepping stone at a time across the river.
Yeah.
Just see it each day as like a new stepping stone. Filter out things that make you feel unconfident. So, for example, I won't follow anybody on social media that doesn't have my body type, because I know I'm going to be staring at their long legs or their giant bosom, and I'm going to be like, I don't look like that. I'm never going to look like that because it's not my body shape. So unless, you know, I'm not comparing myself to them. That was one thing I really started to do, was stop comparing myself to people I am never going to look like.
Yeah.
You know, even like songs, music, anything, to start cutting out this, it's almost like subliminal programming of people, you know, it's kind of intentional, kind of unintentional, but things that make you feel bad about your life. Going on social media every day, looking at lifestyles. If it's inspiring, keep going. Because it's self-abusive at that point. When you're constantly going in and comparing and comparing, you are going to feel like rubbish about yourself.
Definitely. I suppose it's just implementing being present and checking in on yourself and being aware of how you're feeling when you are consuming stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? When you start thinking about everything that we've learned about mental health and mindset, how it links to physical health and the mindset you put in place to look after yourself physically. Because what you just described there, that's the equivalent, isn't it, of getting rid of the biscuits from the cupboard.
Yeah. Taking away the triggers.
Really interesting. You put it into words like that, and it's so obvious as well. It's never come into anyone's head before.
Well, it's because it's just a daily part of our routine. We get online, we look at social media, and then like, oh, I feel like crap. But we don't realise it's making us feel like crap. Because it's just second nature to us. And, you know, we are kind of like on autopilot all the time as well. So it's just like you said, checking in with yourself and having that self-awareness. Is this making me feel good?
Yeah.
If it is, then keep going, go for it. If it's not, just, you don't have to unfollow anybody. You don't have to stop it forever. Just say, do you know what, let me try a few days without doing this, see how I feel.
And that's before you even start putting in things like affirmations or EFT. This is just general day-to-day conscious choices that you can make, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
When would you say things like affirmations should come in to play? Is that something that you would recommend?
We have like 60,000-70,000 thoughts a day. So Google and all the research says 90% of those are recycled from the day before. So that is just our automatic thought, opinions, beliefs about everything in life. When we start to change those, that's when we change what's going to happen in our future. When we start rewriting the stories we have about ourselves. So like I said, feeling like we're actually enough for once, reminding ourselves, oh, we do deserve the world. Actually, there's nothing that wrong with me. I'm not that bad. Just changing those few things and affirming, you know, I'm enough, would change everything, because it's not something you've ever really focused on before. You focus on how you're not enough, how you're not good enough for that job. If you do get the job, you've got imposter syndrome. You feel like, oh, I'm going to get caught out soon.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to leave me soon. He's going to find out I'm not good enough. He's going to go to someone else. Oh, I'm too fat. I'm too thin. Whatever. So just changing that to nice thoughts about ourselves can just change your whole life.
Yeah, and it really does as well. Is it Neville Goddard? No, so yeah. I'm reading his book at the moment, and he's saying if you want to talk to your subconscious, you do have to do it out loud repeatedly through affirmations to start feeling it as well.
Definitely.
Since following you, I have used my little podcasty bit to record my own affirmations with some plinky plonk music. I've got I've got a morning set, an afternoon set, and an evening set.
Love that.
And I've kind of broken it through.
When you have them on recording, so I always tell people to record their own, purely because I don't know what's going on in your mind right now. So I don't know what your limited beliefs are unless you told me and I recorded a personalized set for you. So you can listen to ones on YouTube. I've got some on YouTube. I've got Rampage, Sleep Affirmations, but they might not be as personal and specific to what you need to have. So I always recommend people, there's an app called the Parrot app. And, you know, you can listen to it on a loop. And I think that's so powerful because you're actually getting to the nitty-gritty of what you need to work on.
Yeah.
So I love that you've recorded your own. And also, it's just a lazy way of doing it. Well, that's the best thing, because when it's a lazy way, when it's just something that's a part of your day anyway, so I'll stick it on while I'm in the bath or while I'm like getting ready in the mirror, because I'm doing that anyway.
Yeah.
So I haven't got a set 3 hours out of my day to sit down chanting affirmations and change my subconscious. I can just do it as a background thing.
No, this is it. Blimey, this is a window into my soul here. So I've like, look, when I drop my boy off to nursery, I stick it on my phone through the car, and I've recorded it like I would do if I was learning a foreign language. I've repeated it twice. So I'll listen to it once, and then I'll say it with myself the second time. And and I'm talking to, like, out the window as if I'm talking to the sky. It's impossible not to feel amazing afterwards. It's impossible.
Definitely.
And it sets you up for the day.
It does. And I always say to my clients, make it as routine in your day as brushing your teeth. Because when you do that, it just becomes second nature. It's just a habit. And also, I don't know anybody who genuinely wakes up and goes, oh, I can't wait to brush my teeth. I can't wait. I can't wait to brush my teeth today. It's going to be mint. You just do it. Not saying we don't want to, but you're not going to leave the house without, I hope we don't, but most people are not going to leave the house without brushing your teeth. So when you make it as routine as the car or Brian getting ready or something that's just a part of your day, you're just going to do it anyway, even on the days where you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Even on the days where you're having a bad day or a bad morning, you're just going to stick it on because it's just a part of your day now. So the easier you can get it in, like we've said, the car or getting ready or sleep affirmations, it just becomes second nature that that's just part of your routine.
It's habit stacking, isn't it? So find a habit that you do every day, throw this one on top. So while the kettle's boiling, why not say a couple of things out loud? It does nothing to you. And then, so let's get into EFT. I have recently found EFT.
Mm-hmm.
And again, everything when you talk about this, it sounds nuts, doesn't it? It's ridiculous. Someone told me it's acupuncture with your fingers. I love it. I don't think I'd ever go about it now.
Well, tapping is amazing because it regulates your nervous system. So your nervous system affects everything from your stress levels to your gut health to everything. Most people are in a state of fight. Most people might be a strong statement, but a lot of people go through life in a state of fight or flight. And again, we feel like we don't have any control over our anxiety, or we go doctors and we get beta blockers and we try and do it like in a medicinal way. But meditation, breath work, or tapping is my favorite. EFT is my favorite because I'm naturally a little bit energetic. Mm-hmm. It just curbs my need to be constantly doing something instead of lying there meditating. But tapping, it regulates your nervous system. And for so long, I think I felt like I was just an anxious person and I just didn't realize my nervous system was just shot to bits. So I was constantly cortisoled out of my head, fight or flight. And I lost my best friend 2 years ago. And I'm going to say PTSD, but kind of like, you know, my response since that has been quite panicky. My phone's always on do not disturb because I hate getting random phone calls. But EFT has really, really helped me with that as well. And it's just got that calm to say, if I get a random phone call now, I'm like, oh, it's probably something great. Instead of like a year ago where I was, because I started doing EFT regularly this time last year. It had always been kind of something I'd lean on if I felt like I needed it, but it wasn't an everyday thing. And I was seeing all of these creatives talk about regulate the nervous system. It will speed up your manifestations. I'm one of them people, if somebody online is proof in the pudding, they've got £1 million business and they're telling me to do something, I'm going to do it.
They
clearly walk so I can run. So I'm going to start doing it. And they were not wrong.
Yeah.
That's fine. Because when you manifest as well, the things you want are going to come in the path of least resistance. So when you're tapping EFT, breath work, meditation, you're releasing that resistance out of your body. So you're creating like a calmer path for them to come in anyway.
Yeah. 3-4 weeks ago, I wouldn't have had a clue of what you were talking about either. I found this therapist purely on, it was like reprogramming, basically. And we went in there, and before you know it, she's talking to me about EFT, and then I'm taking these breaths. My God, I've never known a deep breath like it, you know what I mean? It felt like it came from my brain. It was ridiculous.
I know.
Oh, dear.
I've heard some people, but I'm so glad I don't. But it's just a release out of the body. But I really yawn and my eyes, like, not cry. You know, when you yawn, you start tearing up.
Yeah.
And I'm constantly like, And so when I record YouTube ones, I have to like really try not to yawn on them. Because even though I'm doing it for my audience, obviously your brain doesn't know that. So I'm just going, which really trying to keep it down. But you're right, the release is just unbelievable.
It's insane, isn't it? Speaking of the YouTubes, I had a look at some of them. They're mega, aren't they? They're like 3-4 hours long.
Yeah, the sleep affirmation ones are, yeah, they're just to listen to the program your mind while you sleep. I'd love to do 8-hour ones, but doing my bandwidth or whatever, it just doesn't let me upload any longer than 3 hours at the moment.
But no, they are great. Very soothing as well. I definitely recommend them.
I'm a light sleeper. I have trouble sleeping. I've suffered with insomnia forever, blah, blah, blah. I love listening to sleep affirmations. And my trick is to count down from 100 in my mind as I'm listening to the sleep affirmations. And I feel like it cancels it out. And it's better than a sleeping tablet. Kind of knocks me out. I never get to like number one. I go 199 and then probably get to 50 and I'm just asleep.
Wow. All right, let's pause it there and we can come back next week and we can finish off the chat to see what else we can uncover in the purpose of that conversation. I've got to say, it's just the relatability of someone like Lydia. I don't know whether it's me or whether it's this preconceived idea that I've always had wrong, but when you start thinking about manifestation, law of attraction, affirmations, EFT, you can't help feel we're talking about beanbags and hacky sacks, can you? With some plinky plonky tambourines on your fingers and, you know, Enya and all that stuff. What a person like Lydia does for this industry cannot be understated. She brings it into modern day. It's reality. It's today's temptations, but today's opportunities as well. What it is a way to make your life in today's society better just by believing in yourself. What? Why aren't you doing that? I tell you what, let's get to the tip of the week. Tip of the week. Check in on yourself. Give yourself an audit. And I don't just mean the good things, because we're all guilty of burying our head in the sand and forgetting about the things about us that we don't like. But those things that you don't like, they don't go away. You're just burying them deep into your subconscious. And then your brain is going to try and protect you and then subconsciously hide you from certain opportunities, because it thinks that you're not good enough, because that's what you've been telling yourself and repressing within yourself for God knows how many years. Why don't you do an honest, honest audit of yourself and start thinking about the things that you want to change about who you are? This is referred to as self-concept, but you cannot solve the problem until you see the problem. So have a little look, and I don't mean pick holes in yourself, because if there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. But I know when I was struggling with my belief on what I can achieve, that is internally in me a story that I've been telling myself and burying my head in the sand with. So when it comes to my own issue in that I don't believe I can finish long-term projects, reality is, look what I'm doing, man. My long-term project is in full swing. It doesn't matter what I believe. Because what I do know now is that I am worthy of finishing this challenge, because I have got the ability to build a network and build a community and help people that I wouldn't necessarily have had if it wasn't for this therapy, mental mindset change, law of attraction, optimism, whatever you want to call it. It's positivity, it's confidence in myself, and you can certainly do it too, but you need to look at yourself to find out what your limiting beliefs are first. Get involved. Tip of the week. Right, we'll do it for this week. Come back next week and we'll do the second half of our mindset, manifestation, confidence themed episodes. We'll have the second half of the Lydia interview, and then we'll talk about what else we got going on this week as well. Thank you once again to our sponsors, Selleramp. If you like the podcast, please share the word. I'm going to be doing more to promote these, but I'd love it if you could do your bit as well. And if you know anyone that's getting involved in a side hustle or e-commerce, or anyone you know that just needs a boost and starts thinking about their own self-confidence for whatever reason, send them this way and Lydia can help you. Hopefully I can play some part as well. That will do it. Have a lovely week. Take care, everybody. Ciao.
You've been listening to the 200 to 100,000 pounds challenge podcast. Be sure to join us next time for more real talk and undoubtedly terrible jokes as Des gets ever more closer to saying goodbye poor, hello rich. Sponsored by Selleramp. Sourcing analysis simplified.
This podcast is for information and entertainment purposes only. It cannot and does not constitute any form of financial advice. We know things are tough for a lot of people right now, so if you need assistance organising your money, please seek the help of a qualified financial advisor. And if it's all getting a bit too stressful, please make sure you talk to someone. Remember, you are not alone.